Okay, welcome everybody to our annual winter meeting in balmy Portsmouth. As usual, we have three full days of business ahead this week. We're going to start right off with reports today, but before we begin, are there any issues for other business at the end of Thursday? Okay, seeing none, we're going to try to keep this to within our hour and a half time period, at which point we'll take a break before we go into MSA. And Tom and I are going to tag team last week's executive committee meeting, and we will be brief. There is no written summary available yet, but most of the materials that the executive committee reviewed are behind tab one. The primary issues included discussion of the House version of the MSA reauthorization. This will be our next agenda following reports. The committee reviewed the Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder Empirical Catch Advice proposal, which Paul Regal will be providing to the council tomorrow. We discussed a mass DMF letter concerning sector access to closed areas. The letter is in your binder, and it refers to the agency's decision denying access to the portions of Georges Bank closed areas 1 and 2. We discussed impacts on the lobster fishery in the omnibus habitat, and we're supportive of the ongoing efforts by the lobster and scallop fisheries to negotiate shared usage. The executive committee did agree to consider regulations similar to groundfish, but only if the industry wants it. The executive committee discussed the upcoming disaster relief. John will be providing us a report in his update. The executive committee reviewed the SSC nominations and recommendations for the council for our closed session first thing Thursday. The executive committee also discussed recent concerns related to comments made by AP chairs at committee meetings and reviewed the existing provision in the handbook that states advisory panel chairs are encouraged to attend meetings of their respective oversight committees and will be seated at the committee table with other members. These individuals will not be allowed to vote but may freely enter into the committee's deliberations. Provided by the advisory chairs must be identified as discussed by the AP or personal input. And finally, the executive committee discussed the Amendment 18 Compass Lexicon report and supported an independent peer review, and Tom will provide more details in his report. And that concludes my brief report. Are there any questions? Tom, turbo along.
The executive committee also reviewed the council budget, and while we do not yet know how much money we will be awarded for 2014, we expect to get that number sometime in mid-February. It appears that we may have some money that we can devote to supporting collaborative research. This is an issue that we've talked about in general terms since about last June. The goal is primarily to conduct groundfish-related research using our funds to support it. We're going to start moving forward on that more rapidly. We're planning to stand up the research steering committee to try and identify two things. The first is the sort of research questions that we would like to fund the research, and the second is to make sure that those research questions and the answers we get on them provide meaningful, useful information that we can feed into the scientific process through the center. Our goal is to try and issue a request for proposals to get someone to manage this type of program for us, so we're not actually doing a lot of the work in-house, but we will be organizing a research steering committee meeting in the near future in order to get this spun up. With respect to the Compass Lexicon report, we've decided to go the route of an external peer review using the Center for Independent Experts. The Science Center is serving as, I forget what they call it, I don't know if it's a sponsor or whatever, but we need a NOAA sponsor to help us access the Center for Independent Experts, and the Science Center has agreed to do this for us. It will probably take a little while to gear up the peer review meeting. We do not expect it to actually take place until June. The executive committee discussed whether we should hold off on developments of Amendment 18 until that review is done, and the executive committee does not think that appropriate. They think that the Groundfish Committee should continue to work on Amendment 18. The peer review, the report is very narrowly focused on only one of the issues related to excessive shares, and that's the question of market power, and there are a lot of other things that the Groundfish Committee can continue to work on until then. And one last point, I'd like to remind council members that their financial disclosure statements are due in the council office by the end of January. Thank you.
Any questions for Tom? Seeing none, John.
Thanks, Terry. You'll notice to my right that George Darcy has gotten a lot taller and his hair has gotten a lot darker. George is not here. He's on leave in the Conch Republic of Key West and probably having more fun than we're going to have. I hope it's not snowing in Key West. On a serious note, George was awarded by Dr. Kathy Sullivan a Distinguished Career Award for NOAA. That is a very high award, and I can't think of anyone who deserves it better than George. So Mike Pentney is going to stand in for him. I want to report, first of all, that in the budget that was recently passed, there was language that rejected language calling for the closure of the regional office and moving us all to Silver Spring. You may have felt a breeze coming out of Gloucester, the sigh of relief for that, but it did call for a changing of our name. We will no longer be called the Northeast Regional Office. Nero, never again will that phrase come out of these lips. We are now the Greater Atlantic Regional Fisheries Office. GARFO, for short. Doesn't that sound good? GARFO, Portuguese for fork. That is what... I knew that would happen. So we are looking for mascots and other things, and we will be working on a formal rollout plan. But this, make light of it if you will. This is serious because if it is one thing I heard in listening sessions, especially down in the land of Rick Robbins, it was a feeling that we need to pay a lot more attention to our entire region, which goes Cape Hatteras to Maine to the Great Lakes. And so Greater Atlantic Regional Fishery Organization is what we are and what we are named. We are also establishing a modest office. I think I introduced you to old friend Kevin Chu, who will be administering that office, physically located in conjunction with the Chesapeake Bay office. That's our name, and it will be rolled out soon with changes to all things. So, as you see, GARFO, it's the same people, your friends, here we are, you'll get used to it, I'm sure. We are. We're writing a letter to Tom and Terry, hoping that we can... in the future, eliminate a conflict, long-standing conflict between meetings of NAFO, another acronym, and North Atlantic Fishery Organization, and the New England Fishery Management Council. Dave is a commissioner. NOAA's longtime commissioner, Dean Swanson, is retiring. I'm succeeding him. Mike may be joining that. Gene Martin has long time been attending that. Maggie Raymond's another commissioner. This didn't used to matter a lot because we didn't catch much fish as a result of our membership in NAFO. Now, through courtesy of Canada, we catch an enormous amount of yellowtail flounder sustainably. And in international waters, the nose and the tail. And so the September meetings force people to make choices between attending the New England Fishery Management Council and NAFO. And I think it is possible in the future, not this upcoming September, but with some lead time, maybe a year from now, if the New England Council perhaps delayed a week, it would allow people to attend both, and I think that might be something we could work on. At any rate, I hope we might be able to resolve that that conflict between between meetings. Last thing before turning it over to Mike, Terry wanted me to bring people up to speed on disaster funding. I'm sure people have read also in the budget $75 million was put in the budget in the commerce budget in the National Marine Fisheries budget for disasters declared in 2012 and 2013. In the local press, I read in Gloucester and New Bedford, it implied all of that was might have been implied that all of that was for New England. Ah, wish that were true. It was for all disasters declared, and so that includes Alaska, Mississippi, Florida, Samoa, I may be missing some, New York, New Jersey. And the first thing I want to say is thank you very much to the certainly the delegation from New England. I mentioned before that they tried very hard, and when they ran into roadblock, they never gave up. They worked on Plan A. When they were blocked, they worked on Plan B. When they were blocked, they worked on Plan C. I don't know whether this was Plan G, H, I, J. I'm not sure what letter they got up to, but they finally succeeded with $75 million, and congratulations to them for their persistence. This is money that is desperately needed for the New England groundfish fishery, and all of us owe tremendous thanks to them for their persistence in getting this job done. In our region, there are disasters in New England and New York, New Jersey. Now, what happens first is that within 30 days, a decision has to be made among all those regions how to allocate $75 million, how much to Alaska, how much to Florida, et cetera, how much to New England, how much to New York, New Jersey. And the appropriations committees have asked NIMS for data on losses in commercial fisheries in 2012-2013 versus averages of 2007 to 2011. So we've provided that data. I'm not exactly sure how that information will be used, but I expect that, and I'm not sure how the decision will be made, who will make that decision. Somebody knows, but I don't know. But I expect that it, within a relatively short amount of time, that regional allocation decision will be made. Now, in the meantime, we're gathering input on what would be the most intelligent way to allocate whatever money is allocated to New England. What's the most intelligent way to spend that money? I don't know how much it will be, but, you know, sometime in a week or two, we'll know what that is. So what's the most intelligent way to spend that? And so we've had one call so far with the state directors. We're going to have a meeting this coming Friday with our Groundfish Economic Coordinating Committee. That's the group that we established several months ago that developed the draft Fishing Through Tough Times that has many members of industry and state and local and federal government many members of our staff that have come up with various ideas. I know Pat Kelleher is having a meeting here this evening with some folks on how to generate ideas. I know the state Doug Grout in New Hampshire has had one meeting already, or two meetings, soliciting ideas. I think the state of Massachusetts is having four formal meetings and has been requested by the legislature to come up with a plan in March. And so a lot of thought will be put into this. It's very important that whatever money, be spent wisely. I know, for example, Peter Shelley wrote a column with ideas on how to do this. So all ideas are welcome. This is serious. And so anyone with ideas on how to do this, you have my email. Send me your ideas. We'll try and collect them. Anyone with questions, I'm not sure I have any answers beyond what I've just told you, but see me in the hall or whatever, and I'll try and answer anything. And with that, let me turn it over to Mike for a few other announcements.
Thank you. Just three additional items, although there's more items and more detail on recent actions in our status of actions report that's available out on the table if you'd like more information. So the three items that I'll touch on real briefly, on this past Monday, February 27th, we published an advance notice of proposed rulemaking that established a control date of January 27th, 2014 for the lobster fishery. This is done at the request of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission as they continue work on some addendum that may limit the number of traps or permits that a business entity may hold, and they requested that we publish a control date to assist them in that work, so we have done so. There is a comment period on that control date, which closes February 26, 2014. Under SCALLOPS, it's actually related to the Paperwork Reduction Act. We have a renewal of collection of information requirements that apply to the scallop fishery. We published a notice on December 6, 2013 in the Federal Register, and we're soliciting comments on that collection of information, the requirements and the time burdens. The comment period closes February 4th. Lastly, as we have done every year since 2005, we have once again renewed the paralytic shellfish poisoning closed areas that are off the coast here, the northern area and the southern area. Those have been renewed for an additional year. Nothing new there except that beginning this year, those closures now also apply to fishing for gastropods, primarily whelk. And that additional restriction in those areas is being made at the request of US FDA. So I just want people to be aware. If you'd like more information on that, as I said, there are details in the Status of Actions report.
John, I have one question for you about the disaster relief. Is there substance to the rumor that there's going to be a 25% match to federal funds requirement?
I haven't heard anything about that, Terry, so we'll have to try and chase that down.
Okay. Other questions for John? David?
Well, not so much a question, but to add upon what John said regarding the disaster relief. First of all, thanks for your efforts regarding the disaster relief, John. You've been very open in looking for recommendations, and, of course, the different states will be providing those recommendations. The Commonwealth will be providing some in the not-too-distant future. You mentioned that we are having meetings with the industry and others in Massachusetts. We've already had one in Gloucester. We've got one scheduled for Plymouth, one in Chatham, and one in New Bedford to deal with our legislature's concern about the status of the groundfish fishery, its resource. They're looking for some solutions, some ideas. So we're dovetailing these particular public meetings with your initiative to get some ideas as to how the money may be wisely spent. So thanks for all of that. And then for the record, I've never liked an acronym NERO for obvious reasons. NERO was not a nice guy. And GARFO, okay, that's a better alternative, but for the record, I have to correct you. It doesn't mean pork, it means fork.
That's what I said.
I thought you said pork.
Pork.
Okay. In that case, the record is not corrected.
Dave. Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a clarification from John. I didn't understand from the way you said it whether you are going to Washington to take over Dean's full job or the NAFO is being delegated to New England. Is that correct?
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense. That's a good move. Thank you.
Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question for Mike on that Federal Register notice for collection of information on scallops. I don't do any reporting for scallop vessels, but is that just a notice for a continuation of a current program? Just briefly.
Yes, it's a renewal. PRA approvals are granted on 3-year terms, so every 3 years we have to renew the collection. But now, working with OMB, we need to formally announce that we're soliciting comments on those renewals.
Any further questions for John and Mike? Seeing none, NOAA General Counsel, Gene and Mitch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be reviewing the status of several cases, and Mitch will review the status of a couple more cases. First of all, I'll give an update on three of the four cases, lawsuits brought against the agency relating to frameworks 48 and 50 and the approval of the sector operations plan for 2013. And Mitch is going to update you on the fourth one. One of the cases was brought by Oceana. It challenged the level of at-sea monitoring that the agency determined was necessary for sector vessels. All briefs have been filed in that lawsuit. We're waiting to hear back from the court whether there'll be an oral hearing or whether a judgment on the part of the court without an oral hearing. Conservation Law Foundation filed two lawsuits. One challenged the Framework 50 action, specifically relating to how carryover is going to be accounted for in 2013. In that case, the plaintiffs and the agency has filed their initial motions for summary judgment. The plaintiff CLF filed last week its reply brief to our cross motion for summary judgment, and our reply brief is due on Friday, January 31st, and then it will be in the hands of the court to decide. The third of the four lawsuits was brought originally by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and was joined in later by New Hampshire. And Rhode Island has been allowed to be an amicus, a friend of the court in this case. The initial briefs on the part of the plaintiffs were filed on December 4th. Our cross motion for summary judgment is due on February 14th, and then there are a couple opportunities for reply briefs by both sides, and the briefing on that should be done, if I remember correctly, around mid-March, and then that will be in the hands of the court as well. And I wanted to update you on a lawsuit filed in connection with Mid-Atlantic Council Amendment 15 to their squid mackerel butterfish plan. This is a lawsuit brought by recreational group Anglers Conservation Network, and it sued the agency for the action taken by the council to not go forward with Amendment 15 to the mackerel plan. Amendment 15 was in part intended to consider whether river herring and shad should be added to the FMP as stocks in the fishery, and based on a one-vote majority, the Mid-Atlantic Council decided not to go forward with that plan at this time, but instead to take proactive analysis and possible actions to help conserve river herring and shad, and then to reconsider in 3 years whether it should take up again the issue of adding these stocks as stocks in the fishery. Just last Friday, the agency filed a motion to dismiss this lawsuit on grounds that there has not been a final agency action involving regulations and therefore is not cannot be litigated under the Madison-Stevens Act. The plaintiffs will have an opportunity to respond to that motion, and I'll keep you updated on what happens there. All right, at this time, I'd like to turn the time over for Mitch to talk about the fourth groundfish lawsuit. This one was brought by CLF involved with respect to Framework 48 and closed areas, and then to bring you up to date on the Flaherty case, which involves originally a challenge to Amendment 4 to the Herring Fishery Management Plan.
Thank you, Jane. That's a brief update on the Conservation Law Foundation challenge to Framework 48. We're currently briefing that case. The agency has a reply brief due this Friday, and I believe that concludes the briefing, and then there may be an oral hearing at some point or not. The court will decide whether that's necessary and then make a decision at some point. Also, CLF has filed a challenge to the sector access final rule. That was filed, I think it was last week. We're looking for the service date. We will be filing an administrative record and then begin a briefing process on that case as well at some point. An update on the Flaherty matter, which is the challenge originally to Amendment 4. The plaintiffs in that case filed a motion to enforce the judgment, and that was back in November. We had the agency filed a reply to that before Christmas. Yesterday, there was a scheduling conference in a related matter. The plaintiffs also filed a challenge to the 2013 through 15 specifications as being insufficient. And there was a scheduling conference yesterday at which the Judge Kessler scheduled a motion hearing for February 12th, Tuesday, where the parties will argue the merits of the motion to enforce, which basically is a decision as to whether the agency has complied with the judge's remedial order. Subsequent to that, there's a new briefing schedule for briefs to be filed in the challenge to the 2013 through 15 specifications. That briefing begins March 7th and will end May 23rd, after which the court will render a decision. So that's all I have.
Questions for Mitch or Gene? Okay, seeing none, we're on to the Science Center. Bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you'll notice also, Jim Weinberg isn't here today. He's not on vacation. He's actually at the SARC 58 panel in Woods Hole. You may recall that we had to postpone benchmark assessments for butterfish, tilefish, and northern shrimp because of the furlough. And the only week that we could fit it in was the week of this council meeting. So that's what's going on at Woods Hole this week. The next SARC 59 is scheduled for July, and that will cover sea scallops and Gulf of Maine haddock. It's a relatively quiet time at the Science Center at this time of the year with regards to field work, but there are a couple of major issues that are of interest to the council that are going to be reported out by center staff later this week. One is the yellowtail flounder assessment approach that Paul Rago is going to speak to you about on Wednesday, and the other is the report that we've recently issued on the performance of New England groundfish fishery, the economic report, and Tammy Murphy is going to be speaking to you about that also tomorrow. And I think that's all I have to report, Mr. Chair.
Questions for Bill? David.
Yeah, Bill, thank you. Back in December, you sent a letter to Tom Neese, and it was made available to all council members, I believe, regarding observer coverage and the steps the center has taken to ensure equitable selection among sector vessels for that observer coverage. And you indicated in that letter to us that vessel compliance with the PTNS calling requirement within an individual sector was highly variable and could be as low as 19%. I then sent you a letter asking for a clarification because it seemed to me that this meant that there were sectors for which a majority of active groundfish trips were not compliant within the PTNS calling requirement, thus they were avoiding observer coverage. And then I requested compliance information for each sector. You were kind enough to quickly respond and indicate that you'd look into it. Haven't got anything yet regarding a response to my question. So just wanted to highlight that for your benefit, since it's an issue that needs to be addressed or at least clarified for the benefit of me and the entire council, since I may have misunderstood what was said in that letter to Tom Neese. I hope I did, because my take on it was that there was low compliance with the calling requirement, which would be not a good thing. So that's my question. Where do we stand with that response to that those questions I asked?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Pierce, we are working on this. We certainly do have some compliance problems. At this point, I want to defer until we can respond specifically with the numbers, but staff are working on it, and I hope within a few weeks we can have something out to you.
All right. Thank you, Bill. And then finally, I wanted to call attention to the Yankee Magazine. This is the November-December issue of last year. In addition to 36 delicious recipes, there is a great article written by a reporter whose name I forget about the work done by the Northeast Fisheries Science Center. In particular, it's a lengthy article describing the spring 2013 survey on the Bigelow. I would encourage all council members to take a look at that article because it's very, very useful. Hair is let down by a number of individuals on board the Bigelow as they expressed Bigelow work and the cod assessment, other things that relate to the Northeast Fisheries Science Center. If you haven't been on a survey, you'll feel like you've been on a survey after you read this particular article. So well done, very complimentary to the Northeast Fisheries Science Center and the work done on the Bigelow. And in particular, there's a great description by Northeast Fisheries Science Center scientist Michael Palmer about Gulf of Maine cod and all the controversy we've had about the status of Gulf of Maine cod and the reassessment of Gulf of Maine cod. It was very well stated, and it was very useful and a nice summary of where we are, how we got to this particular point in time with Gulf of Maine cod. So again, just wanted to highlight that.
Mike.
In that regard, that actually sounds like it would be quite useful. Would it be reasonable to request that a PDF be made and sent around by council staff? Thank you.
We can look at copyright issues. We'll look into it, Mike. Maybe David will leave his copy out on the table. Further questions for Bill? Okay, seeing none, we're on to the mid. I know you guys are meeting in a couple weeks. Are there any updates? Director Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are meeting in February during the second week of the month. The first day of that council meeting, I'll point out, is scheduled for a climate change workshop. We'll be looking at the science behind climate change as it relates to our managed fisheries. That'll be the first step in addressing that issue. We'll subsequently have a much broader discussion on governance as it relates to that issue. But this is a close-up look at the science, and that'll be the first day of the council meeting. We'll also take up the framework action on monkfish at that meeting, so look forward to the discussion that'll occur here at this meeting.
Thanks, Rick. Coast Guard, Kurt.
Good morning. Captain DeCola sends his regrets for not being able to attend. As many of you know, he is set to retire this summer, so his attendance will be sporadic, and I'll be sitting in most of the time. Please feel free to copy me any correspondence. If you need my information, I'll definitely give it to you before we take off today. He will make the April meeting, however, so you'll get one more chance to poke in. So since November 1st through 15 January, 221 boardings completed. Only two fisheries violations. Those were back in November. They were Atlantic striped bass violations, so the compliance rate is very good right now. As far as safety, we had 43 violations on 23 different vessels. Five of those vessels had their voyages terminated for egregious safety issues. Most of them, actually, they were either two things or a combination of both, immersion suits or life raft expirations. Obviously, very important gear to have, especially this time of year, so they had their trips cut short. Okay, I'm not going to read through the stats for everyone. You can all see them right there. 41 casualties. You can get the breakdown. All in all, we assisted 80 fishermen. We had four medevacs and, unfortunately, two fatalities. And they both were fishing-related. And that is the end of my report. Quick and sweet. Any questions?
We like short and sweet. Thank you. Any questions for Kurt? Okay. Seeing none, Sue, you're up.
Hi, good morning. My name is Susan Williams. I'm an assistant special agent in charge for Division 1, or District 1, which I'm basically here covering for Logan. Logan's at headquarters meeting with our national leadership team. I think you've all been provided with our 11-page report, so I really don't want to go through each page. I'll be here for an hour. I don't think you want to hear from me for an hour. I do want to touch on a little bit about what happened this past quarter. For just personnel-wise, we lost one of our DSACs. He retired. We here in the Northeast have merged a couple divisions, so now we only have two supervisory field agents, which is myself and another one. So I cover Maine down to New Bedford, and then we have another one which covers the Mid-Atlantic. a new deputy director was selected, and we also have two new SACs, one for the Southeast Division, one for the Northwest Division. We still have a couple of vacant positions. We were very busy this quarter with our boardings and our patrols. We had about 247 patrols, and it goes through what exactly a patrol is. It's a critical face-to-face interaction. We had about 300 incidents, which it could be the start of a case, or it could be just the initial investigation portion of it. We have some highlights about criminal cases and civil cases in this report. And that's all I have. Does anyone have any questions?
Questions for Sue? Seeing none, thank you.
That was easy.
I'm going to comment briefly on ASMSC, which meets next week. There are six of us around the table that will be there next week, and we'll have a report to the council at our next meeting. Last is electronic monitoring. Tom, I believe you got a report.
Yeah, just a quick one. This is a reminder to folks that our working group, which is specific to the groundfish fishery and tasked with trying to move forward towards implementation of an EM option in the sector portion of that fishery as an option for sectors to use as a component of their monitoring plan. That group is comprised of council members, folks from GARFO, the Science Center, some industry, and some other stakeholders as well, and it's been a really productive group. We've had several calls and one very productive in-person meeting that was in December. You can find the notes from that, I believe, on the website, and Jamie can point folks to where to find those reports. Like I said, we're making good progress, and we expect a full report to the council at our April meeting. A couple other things that are ongoing. A number of folks here attended the National EM Workshop in Seattle. That group is putting together a report from that, but I think a lot of the folks from New England, groundfish and other fisheries represented, got a lot out of that discussion and walked away more committed to seeing this type of program pursued in a range of our fisheries. So we'll look forward to the report from that meeting, and you can ask me or anyone else who went about their perspectives of some of the key takeaways from that. Finally, the Nature Conservancy and the and GARFO are co-sponsoring a meeting, I think, in the spring, a workshop that will help take the next step in terms of implementing EM for sectors. So I think some of the details in terms of scheduling are still to be worked out, but we anticipate having that workshop in the spring. And that's my report. I'm happy to take questions if anyone has some.
Questions for Tom? Seeing none, I don't want to jinx ourselves, but we just did reports in less than an hour. Thank you, everybody, for your succinct reports. We're going to take a 10-minute break and go right into then MSA reauthorization. Okay, council members, please take your seats.